Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you from Chesapeake, Virginia. So glad that you're joining us today on a brand new week of broadcast. We are well into the new year, and what an amazing year it has already been. What an unusual year it has been. I just came out of 2020, as you know, going into this new year, and we see that everyone is still somewhat unsettled. Everybody is still fighting the coronavirus. But I want you to know something. Our God is still in control. No matter what happens, God is still in control. So for the next several Monday broadcasts, I want to encourage you to join me as we will be looking at the life of Jonah. Now, the reason I love the book of Jonah is because I think that we can relate to Jonah. We look at the story of Jonah, and he was God's man. He knew God. He had a relationship with God. God gave him a very special task. It was a most unusual and difficult task. His job was to preach repentance. He had a very short sermon, only 8 words long. His job was to go to the people that he didn't really respect. But we see that this message of Jonah is a message not only for those who need to repent, not only for the Ninevites, but also for every one of us who call Jesus Christ our Savior. So I've entitled this series of messages that we'll be covering over the next several Monday on the Monday broadcast, Grace for the Disgraced. This first part we're going to be looking at is grace for those who are reckless. Now, I want you to know something. Grace will keep you motivated, but when you feel disgraced, it zaps all the courage right out of you. So today, I hope that you are filled with God's grace. If not, I hope at the conclusion of this broadcast, we have said something that will encourage you and something that will cause you to get on the right track. Well, here is my really, really bad dad joke to get the broadcast started today. Well, why couldn't Jonah trust the ocean? Why couldn't he trust that ocean? Well, he just knew there was something fishy about it, and that's a really bad dad joke. Okay, so guys, when you get home, I don't recommend using that dad joke, but hopefully that will get you hopefully in a mindset to receive something from the Lord today. Our theme this year as a church is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We're going with theme of grace this year, and you know, the grace of God has appeared, and that grace offers salvation to all people. That same grace also teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and it teaches us to live a life of self-control, a life that is upright, godly in this present age. Listen, I know we're living in hard times. These are the most unusual times that we have ever lived in. But I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. We don't have to fall into the non-biblical worldview. We don't have to adapt to a secular worldview because God's grace is sufficient for us. As we begin the broadcast today, I want to share some things with you that I hope that will really help you. And I want to begin by reminding you of some things that you may already know. And here's what it is. God values the lost. Have you ever lost anything? Have you ever lost something that is great value? Maybe it's something that was very important to you, and so you searched diligently. For example, if you lose your cell phone, if it's lost, you diligently search until you find it. I never thought I'd be so trapped with this addiction to a cell phone. The other day, I was going to the church, and I got halfway to the church, and I realized I forgot my cell phone. So what did I do? I didn't say, well, I don't need it today. I turned around, went back home, got my cell phone, because that's how trapped and that's how addicted I am to my cell phone. Well, when we lose something, we don't stop looking until it is found. Kind of reminds me of a story that a pastor was telling not too long ago about a group of students that he took on a missions trip. They had a great trip. On this particular missions ministry, they had a great preaching team. They had a great drama team. They had lots of projects that they completed, and when it was time for them to come home, they had a midnight flight flying back to the United States. Well, the students all went through the passport line. The sponsors all went through the line, and so the pastor, he was waiting kind of to be the last person, just to make sure everybody made it okay and made it past the passport check-in, and he got up to his turn. And the passport clerk asked him, "Let me see your passport," and he begins fishing around in his pocket, and wouldn't you know it, he couldn't find his passport. He searched in his pockets, he searched his carry-on luggage, and panic began to take over as he tried to explain his situation to the passport police. Well, they were unmoved by the pastor's plight, and all of a sudden, one of the sponsors, we'll call him Alan, started waving at the pastor with a passport in hand. He had the pastor's passport. As a practical joke, Alan took the pastor's passport. Now, when the pastor received that passport back, he didn't throw that passport on the floor and say, "Well, how dare you leave me? How dare you team up with a stranger?" He was much more diligent in making sure that he protected that passport so that it would never go missing again. He didn't even get too mad at Alan, but I want you to know something, that if Alan ever steals my passport again on a mission trip, we will be coming back to the United States with one less person. Well, listen, I've got some really good news for you at the start of this new year. God's grace is available for the lost and the reckless and the undeserving. So for the next several Monday broadcasts, we'll be looking into the book of Jonah. Jonah's a minor prophet who has a very major message. Now, Nineveh in the Bible is a notable city. It is actually the capital city of Assyria. It was a longtime enemy of Israel. It is located in what is called now modern-day Iraq. Nineveh is mentioned in Scripture as a place that, quote, turned away from sin through a warning by God, but which was later destroyed. The message of the Ninevites was that God was going to do a mighty work in them one way or another. It was either going to be a mighty work of destruction or it was going to be a mighty work of revival. Jonah was given a task. We learn this from the very early part of Jonah chapter number 1. His task was this: go to Nineveh and preach against it. That evil city was a stench in the nostrils of the Lord, and it was time for judgment to come. So when God said to Nineveh that it was wicked, he wasn't kidding. Nineveh was part of the most powerful empire in the modern world. The Assyrians had a reputation for cruelty that is difficult for us to even fathom. Their specialty was brutality of the grossest and the most disgusting kind. When their enemies captured a city or a country, unspeakable atrocities would occur. Things like skinning people alive, decapitation, mutilation, ripping out the tongues of those they didn't agree with their speech over, making a pyramid of the heads of people they decapitated. They would pierce the chin of those that they would capture and put a rope into their chin and drag them along like a dog. Ancient records from the Assyrians boast of this kind of brutality almost as a badge of courage and power. The Assyrians had no use for the Jews, and the Jews absolutely hated the Assyrians. Hated them with their blood because of their bloodthirsty cruelty, hated them because of their idolatry, hated them because of their arrogance. For a Jewish man to be told by God to go preach to Nineveh was repugnant. As far as Jonah was concerned, Nineveh could go straight to hell. Go ahead. He would push the button, open the trap door, and let them fall straight down into the pit. That's how Jonah felt about Nineveh. Now, Jonah was probably the world's worst missionary. Now, I don't know if you know very many missionaries. I had the privilege of knowing many missionaries, and I have never yet met a missionary who said, "I'm going to go to a people that I hate." Most of the time, God gives them a passion for a group of people. You know, as we're recording this broadcast, we are just celebrating our 24th year as a church. 24 years ago, my wife and I moved to this area, and I want you to know why we came to the Hampton Roads area. We did not come because we hate Hampton Roads. We didn't come because we hate the people of Chesapeake or we hate the people of the mega metropolis of Moyoc. We came because we had passion and a compassion for the people of this area. Jonah, on the other hand, did not go because he had a passion to see the Ninevites converted. He had a passion to see God's judgment fall on them. I want you to know that as we look at this story today, Jonah is not the hero of the story. God is. At the beginning, he's running from God, and at the end, he's arguing with God. In between, he's praying and he's preaching. He's the only missionary that I have ever heard of who had no passion or no love for the people he was called to reach. As we look at an overall summary of the book, we could say that chapter number one, Jonah runs. In chapter number two, Jonah prays. In chapter number three, Jonah preaches. In chapter number four, Jonah pouts. Now, just to set things in order as far as priority, the fish is only mentioned four times in these four chapters of Jonah. The city of Nineveh is mentioned nine times in this small book of Jonah. Jonah, by name, is mentioned 18 times, but God is mentioned 38 times. So I want you to know that grace is driven by God. Jonah is remembered by many, not because he was a prophet, but because he was the unfortunate guy who got swallowed by a great fish. As a matter of fact, many people do not even realize that Jonah is one of the minor prophets. Jonah had no desire to be God's prophet. He tried to run from that duty. And it ended with him getting eaten by a great fish. And then he heads in the opposite direction. He gives an impassioned speech when he finally gets on the right track. Jonah is fed up with everything. Jonah was given the big task of going to Nineveh, but God gave him a sermon. Only 8 words in the sermon. Nice, short, and sweet. To Jonah's consternation, his warning was this, and here's his sermon. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And that short message was enough to get the Ninevites to repent, just to show you God can deliver grace even through a terrible preacher. I want to share with you today 7 ways that God reveals his grace to us. Number one, he speaks his grace to the disgraced. We're at Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and this is what it said. Go to that great city, that city of Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, when God speaks, I want you to know that he always speaks grace. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Grace is God's nature. God is gracious all the time. Now, I am gracious some of the time. We learn that this word grace in the New Testament is often repeated, but it was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 6. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever used that expression? Hey, will you do me a favor? What are you doing? You're asking for grace. Now, when God speaks, he speaks with a purpose. God says, Jonah, here is what I want you to do. You're Hebrew, you know me, and I know you. Now, I want you to go to proclaim this message of grace to a group of people who don't know me, the Ninevites. When God spoke to Jonah, God knew that Jonah was going to reject this opportunity and he was going to go in the opposite direction. God knew that Jonah was going to go on a ship, encounter a storm, end up being swallowed by a great big fish, but God in his grace still shared the message. Listen, when God speaks, he always speaks with grace. So as you listen today, I want to ask you a series of questions. Question number one is, what does God want me to do in 2021? How is God speaking to me today? Just as the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to us. As I was preparing for this message, I said, there's 3 things I think that God wants me to work on this year. I think God wants me to be heavily involved in evangelizing. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I would beg of you to accept that free gift of salvation, receive the grace of God, and have everlasting life. I also believe that God not only wants me to evangelize, but I think God wants me to equip others to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11 is very clear that God calls pastors to equip others to do the work of the ministry. And then thirdly, I think God wants me to build up and advance his kingdom. That is the discipleship process of building up God's people. Well, we've learned so far today that God gave grace to the disgraced when he spoke to the word. He speaks and there is grace. Number two, God also gives grace for the disgraced even when they're running. Look at verse number 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship moored for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, this is interesting. As we look at this particular passage, we see that Jonah is running to Tarshish. Now, as I was putting this together, I almost get this confused with Paul of Tarsus and Jonah running to Tarshish, and I found out they're the same place. One is a Hebrew rendering and one is a Greek rendering, but it's the same place. So Jonah was running to the place where Paul was raised. Jonah is running away from the Lord, and we discover something about this. We discover that we cannot outrun the grace of God. Even while Jonah was attempting to run from God's grace, he was experiencing God's grace. Now think about this for just a moment. You think about running. You are able to run because of God's grace. God had just given Jonah a tremendous message, a purpose, an assignment. And what does Jonah do? He runs away from the Lord. How could he do that? He could only do that by the grace of God. You think about running. Running is something that takes a lot of coordination. You've got to be in pretty good physical shape to run. So Jonah was using God's grace to run from God himself. We also see that he went down and he found a ship that was at the port and he paid the fare. Now, how was he able to pay that fare? It was by God's grace. Isn't it amazing that God blessed him financially enough so that he could pay the fare? We continue on, we see that he fled from the Lord. How in the world can you flee from the Lord unless God gives you that ability to flee from him? You see, as we look at this particular situation, we discover that Jonah is running in the grace of the Lord. He is paying a fare in the grace of the Lord. God in his graciousness is also providing a ship for him to go to Joppa in the midst of him fleeing from the Lord. All this is made possible by none other than the grace of God. So here's my question to you. What does God want me to stop running from? You may be saying, well, if God wants me to stop running from something, he'll wear me out. Maybe you will, but maybe you won't. Maybe you are being a disgrace to God's grace and you're listening to the broadcast today and you realize, I've got to stop running. God has even given me this grace to run from him. What are you running from today? Maybe it's that fear of failure. Maybe it is that feeling that I'm not going to quite measure up. Maybe it's that feeling of I don't want to be rejected. I want to ask you a question. What would you do in this new year if you knew that you would not fail? What would you attempt? You see, many times we don't attempt great things for God because we are afraid we're going to fail. As you have a word from the Lord, I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. He is just waiting for you to stop your running from him, to embrace his plan, to embrace his purpose, and don't be running. Stay in sync with him. Well, here's the third thing that we learn about grace today is God speaks grace, he gives grace, and even storms display his grace. In verses 4 and 5, it says that the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Now we look at this, and we see that even this storm is God's grace, and is producing change that would not have occurred otherwise. These sailors on this ship were getting along fine until Jonah came on. And because there was a great storm in Jonah, it caused a great storm on that sea. These tried and true sailors, they had seen some storms, but nothing like this storm. They cry out in fear to their gods. They try to lighten up the ship. Everything they knew to do was not working. But God's grace was doing something else to Jonah. This great wind, violent storm, destructive storm, this fear caused Jonah to cry out to the Lord, caused those sailors to cry out to God. You know, I think about a call to action storm. That's the kind of storm this is. It's time to get moving. You know, I think there's really three types of storm that every one of us would face from time to time. The first would be a storm called a perfecting storm, where God allows hardships into our lives to make us stronger, to make us spiritually more like Christ. You know, Job went through a perfecting storm. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that when our faith is tested, we have our endurance and it's given that chance to grow, so let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So sometimes storms come into our lives to perfect us, to mature us, to allow us to grow up. Sometimes, number two, storms come into our lives because God uses them to protect us. That's the kind of storm that the disciples experienced on the Sea of Galilee. After Jesus had performed perhaps his most popular miracle, feeding of the 5,000, we discover that the people loved that miracle. You think about Jesus raising dead people, bringing them back to life. Well, that's awesome. And restoring sight and hearing. Well, that's incredible. But a free lunch? Now, that's what we're talking about, right? The crowds wanted to make Jesus king by force. So Jesus said to his disciples, in effect, get into that boat. We're headed out of here. And he delivers his disciples from what would have been a lot of adulation, which would have created a lot of problems. So he tells them to go get into a boat, but then they get a storm as they're out on the Sea of Galilee. That storm protected them from the crowd. You see, when the crowd saw the storm was coming, they decided, I'm not going to get in our boat. We're not chasing them down anymore. And that was the end of pursuing the disciples. Well, there's one other reason that God may allow a storm in our lives. We talked about the fact that sometimes he does it to perfect us or to mature us. Sometimes he does it to protect us. But number three, sometimes he does it to correct us. You see, we basically bring these corrective storms upon ourselves. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. We reap the consequences of our actions. Jonah was in a correcting storm. It was his fault. He brought it upon himself. Well, what storm do I need to stop fearing in 2021? Maybe it's COVID, and maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a marriage that you think is falling apart. Maybe it's a career that you think is going nowhere. Maybe it's a loss of a job. What do you need to stop fearing in 2021? Our God is able to be with us in the middle of the storm. There's something else that we learned today about Jonah. And we're going to finish this message in tomorrow's broadcast, but I'm going to give you one more point and hopefully whet your appetite to come back and get the last few points tomorrow. And that is that God speaks to us. His word is grace. God gives us his grace. God even speaks in storms. But there's something else that God does to restore to us this whole understanding of grace. He gives grace to the disgrace by allowing them sleep. That's right. Verses 5 and 6, but Jonah, in the midst of this storm, goes below the deck where he lay down and he fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call upon your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Now, before I explain this verse too much further, sometimes God gives us sleep because he comforts us in the midst of a storm and uses that as a time of us being protected from that storm. But sometimes we wrongly think that those who are living a sinful life are living lives without sleep. Now, that's not necessarily true. You see, when we look at the story of Jonah, we discover that Jonah was sleeping soundly. Nobody else on that ship was sleeping soundly, but the one that was causing the storm, of all people, was sleeping like a baby. As we look at this, God is using this as an opportunity for Jonah to see and experience God's grace. Something's going to happen in just a moment for him to be awakened, but before that happens, God is going to allow Jonah to get some sleep. You know, when the world sees us asleep, only caring about our own problems, I think sometimes the world gives us a rebuke. You see, the world sees us evangelizing, and they do not always see this Jesus that we want them to see. What they may be thinking is that you want to give me Jesus so that you can have a bigger church. You want to give me Jesus so that you have a bigger church, a bigger parking lot, more money coming in, advancing your agenda. But we ourselves are living lives of suffering, the world says. This captain comes down into that ship and says, Jonah, would you wake up? Would you use the source of your faith to help us out of this dilemma? You know, Jesus did that for us in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ was eternally rich, glorious, and exalted, but though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake, he became poor. Jonah is in this deep sleep. He is comatose. He has so worn himself out trying to outrun the grace of God, he falls into a deep sleep. The captain wakes him up and says, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Call upon your God." The captain, in essence, is saying to Jonah, "Do something good with your faith. Don't hide in hibernation. Help us out. Pray to your God." Well, as we begin this new year, I pray that you will awaken to the needs around us in our community. Do something to be a blessing to those that you come in contact with today. Lord, thanks for being with us as we start this brand new week. Allow us to be filled with your grace and pass it along. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.